Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
You're right, guys, and welcome to another episode. Today is another Media Madness episode where we're going to go through a few stories that have been thrown out there. Some a bit eye-raising, some are a bit like, So we're going to talk about it now and see what mine and Brad's thoughts are. So, Brad, over to you. What's the first story?
Hello, guys. Obviously, the big news this week is obviously about Buendia, but we're not going to go massive into it because it has been covered quite a lot. And we are going to do a Buendia salt, like just literally talk about Buendia on an episode once he's announced. But the one thing we do want to talk about is how the AVFC official Twitter account and obviously website kind of like took like how they spoke about it, because it was literally, and I'll quote, Aston Villa and Norwich City have reached an agreement for the transfer of Emiliano Buendia. And literally, the only thing that's interesting about it is the word biosecure bubble. That's the most interesting thing in what they spoke about in the message. And literally just says he will undergo a medical and complete the transfer after the game. So it was kind of a bit of a pointless one. What do you think?
I think the post is unnecessary. Wait another 24 hours or however long it is until after the Argentina game, and then I don't know, have a picture of him on the medical table or him holding a Villa's top, not necessarily wearing it, but obviously just him just holding it, or he's got like I don't know, he's given like a few words on happy to join Villa, blah blah blah. But I don't think it was just pointless. Like, it just basically says he's going to join us officially after the Argentina game, and that's it. I don't think it was necessary. I'm sure we could have waited a few days for a better announcement that would have been a bit better. Like, they could have done something fun with it. I don't know, made Martinez do like a home video and then like talk to Bundin. Do you know what I mean? They had plenty of things they could have done with it, and I just thought it was a bit pointless. And yeah, I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, I'm buzzing about the fact we've got him, but I just think the announcement's a bit pointless. I'd rather have the announcement when he's had the medical, and not necessarily he's wearing the shirt, because obviously he's abroad and it might be hard to get one, but I don't know, it might have been a picture of him and Martinez or whatever. But yeah, I just think it was a bit pointless, a bit like, I don't know, it just felt like I was reading a statement from Villa instead of like an excited about having a player. But I'll probably forget about this when he starts playing and starts banging them in. So it is what it is, but I just think they should have had a bit more of an imagination.
Yeah, it was very boring, bland, and to say, are we going to break our record for him? It was kind of like, it kind of rushed, it felt like. So yeah, that was kind of like a bit of a weird one. But like I say, when we'd signed like Barkley, it was nothing at all heard. And the next thing you know, there's a picture of him signing the contract and saying he's talking on loan and like a decent little bit about him. This kind of felt a bit rushed. And, you know, as I'm sure everyone's aware, that transfer don't happen overnight. And then, you know, they wake some kid up, quick, post it on Twitter, quick. They need to know, like, you know, it's obviously, it's thought out. So yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. On the back end of that, I can name the Mirror, the Sun, everyone else. It's not really Villa related. But it was the fact that, like we just said about Buendia joining Villa, is some of that who's heavily linked to us over the course of the season in Pereira from Albion, might be going to Norwich as Buendia's replacement. Now, I thought it was quite interesting because obviously they do mention Villa saying there is a long term of interest to Villa. But obviously he could be going to Norwich. Now, I know it's a bit Sky Sports newsy to talk about it, seeing it's not our club. But obviously, it does mention our name that we are interested in. So, what do you think about if he goes to Norwich? Because for me, that feels a bit of a, I wouldn't say a backwards move because obviously they'll switch places and leagues, but it's a bit of a strange one because I think he's, no disrespect, a bit better than Norwich.
I think Pereira is a very good player. He was West Brom's best player. I'm still a bit annoyed that we haven't brought him, but obviously I'm not playing FIFA and buying all the good players. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind Pereira still, but we'd have to get one of our wingers. So I don't know, like Algarzi or Trezeguet or, you know, someone have to go, and I don't think they should. So I'm a bit gutted that we've missed him, but then in a way I'm not, because we've got Brendina, who's obviously one of the most, well, the best player in the Championship last season. And I'm not going to go into him, but everyone knows how good he is. Yeah. Arsenal were after him. Atletico Madrid was sniffing. So I'm not happy that we've got him, but I just thought it would have been nice to get Pereira. I think mainly just to wind up the Baggies fans. But I think what Pereira wants to do, Pereira just wants to stop in the Premiership. But I don't think Pereira will maybe go to Norwich if there's a better offer on the table. Say if a Newcastle came in for him or something like that, I think it'd be a good fit for them. But yeah. I think Norwich is probably the only one so far that's shown an interest. But if any club above Norwich show interest, it'll probably go there, if I'm going to be honest, because he's good enough, in my opinion, for bar the top 8 teams, maybe top 7 teams, to go into any team. So I think, I personally don't think he will end up at Norwich. I think no. Norwich is the first person to show an interest, because they're going to have all this money off us. They probably want to get a replacement in quick, and fair play to them. But Pereira can do better, and I think he will. I think another team will come in for him. As I said, you got your Newcastle. He'd be a good fit. It seems like maybe a West Ham sort of signing as well. None of the top 6 will go for him, and that's fine. But yeah, I think he can walk into any team apart from the top 6.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'd like to get him in. I think he's a very good talent. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think he'll be in the Premier League regardless of the season. He ain't going to be in the Championship. We're going to go completely left wing with some silly ones now. This one's from Football Insider, and it's got sources. Sources. It just starts with sources, so you know it's going to be a bit of a dream.
The joys.
Sources. Mendes speaks to Eden and Suarez over stunning Nuno to Aston Villa deal after Wolves exit. Now, I don't even know where to start with this one. Nuno's not coming to Villa. I could probably put money on this completely. There's no way they're going to get rid of Smith and bring in Nuno to Villa. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but I don't even understand. I mean, this guy must have been on the sherry or something that night when he posted this, because this is unreal.
This sort of stuff's been going on for ages now, and I don't understand why. He's not coming to us. Smith ain't going anywhere. They're not going to give all this money to Smith and then get rid of him. And Smith ain't getting sacked at the start of the season. If Smith was getting sacked, he would have been at the end of the season. So whoever the manager was would obviously go into the season with a full, you know, pre-season, blah, blah, blah. But it's never going to happen regardless. And I don't want him. He's going to end up at Everton or something like that. Or I think Crystal Palace were in for him, weren't they?
Yeah.
Crystal Palace or Everton might be the favourites for one of them, I think.
Yeah, it's just nuts that would even be mentioned. Like, it's never going to happen. We saw what happened with Alex McLeish. I know Blues to Villa is obviously worse than Wolves to Villa, but it's just not going to happen. Smith's done nothing wrong. Absolutely. That's probably my favourite story we've done on any of these media practices so far. Next one is written by Alex McLeish, the old Villa guy. So this is his opinion, and it's Tom Eaton back to become Man United's number one after agreement reached. Again, apparently Alex McLeish spoke exclusively to Football Insider yet again. So again, like I say, it's Villa related in two ways, in McLeish and Heaton, but there is no way in my mind, as much as I like Tom Heaton, he's not going to be Man United's new number one. He couldn't be our number one because of Martinez. So I'm not saying, he's a bad keeper, but when you got De Gea and Henderson on the books, it's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah. I mean, fair play for Tom Heaton to go there, because he was never going to be number one at Villa. And he won't be number one at United, but he'll be number two and he'll play more games, because you've seen this season how much they rotate the keepers. Like, yeah. De Gea and Henderson, they both had quite a fair share of games. I think one of them will leave, though. Henderson, yeah. Or De Gea. I'm guessing De Gea will, because Henderson's just signed a contract there and he's young, he's English. They're going to obviously try to push that. And I think Tom Heaton will probably help Henderson process, sort of get better as a keeper. So I can see why Tom Heaton went. He's from Manchester, isn't he? Did he not used to play for United as well? So
yeah, academy, yeah.
So yeah, it's a good move for him. He was never going to get in front of Martinez. Big wage cap off has gone. He will get games at United more than he will at Villa. So fair play to him, but he will not be number one there, but he'll definitely be a very good backup.
This is kind of a big story that's been going around, and it's doing my fruiting. I'm guessing they're going to do every Villa fan's fruiting, and it, you can probably guess who it is. And it's The Sun, but you can pretty much quote any media papers talking about this, and it's Man City and Jack Grealish. So the headline I've picked out is Man City want Harry Kane and Jack Grealish in a sensational double transfer swoop, with the pair ready to snub move to Man United. Now, what stands out this for me is that Harry Kane and Jack Grealish have told The Sun that they're ready to snub Man United. So they've gone, no, we're not interested in Man United. City's where we want to be. That, do you know what I mean? Like, as if that would ever happen. But like I say, it's not just The Sun saying it. It is pretty much every media journalist in the world at the moment saying how much Jack Grealish is pretty much done deal, signed, sealed to City. So yeah, it's a bit of it's annoying at the moment, to say the least. So what's your thoughts on City? Like I say, Harry Kane's mentioned if you want to talk about him, but obviously I'm more interested in your opinion on Grealish and City.
If anyone's buying Jack, it's going to be one of the Manchester teams. But if United buy Sancho, they won't buy Jack. And in my opinion, Man City don't need Jack. They've got Foden and De Bruyne. Jack, in my opinion, doesn't maybe get in front of them too. So, because obviously Foden is their golden boy, and that's fine. And De Bruyne is obviously the main man. So Jack won't get in front of them. And then for United, if you're spending 80 to 90 million on Sancho, you're not going to spend another 90 to 100 million on Jack. So, and if you look at it as well, if I was a Man City fan, what would I rather want? I'm not going to lie. I want a striker that's going to score goals, because that's the only inconsistent thing they've had this season. They keep playing midfielders there and stuff. And now with Aguero going, I'd rather spend that 100 mil on Harry Kane.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you said, I think they're going to concentrate on getting a striker. Everyone knows Aguero's gone. Everyone knows the issues they've had. It's not like they're lacking creativity. Like you said, they've got Foden, De Bruyne. Okay, Sterling's not been the best, but he's still there. You've got Bernardo Silva. You've got Mahrez. The list is endless. You know what I mean? Like, their bench pretty much would get into our starting 11. Pretty much every single one of them. So I can't... For me, I think Jack's here for another season. I think if we can make top six to top eight, I think he'll be here for a year after that. I think the only thing that worries me a little bit about Jack is he's not... Without being disrespectful to him, because we all love him, but he's not very humble. And him being pretty much the poster boy of England now, he's in adverts for Sports Direct and Nationwide and all. He's doing all these adverts. He's pretty much becoming like Beckham did. Okay, I'm obviously not trying to compare him at the moment, because Beckham was world-class and, you know, Jack's got the potential to be there. But you get what I mean? Like, he's kind of becoming that poster boy, stand-up, you know, guy that everyone looks up to, even if you weren't a football fan.
Yeah,
and I just don't want his agent to be in his ear. I don't want the players around him to be, come to City. You're gonna be the poster boy. City, you're gonna win everything, and do the quadruple every year and all this. And I know he's a Villa fan. I know we'll probably put Villa first, and it's a bit different for a lot of other footballers because he's a diehard Villa fan compared to like Kane, who isn't a Spurs fan. So it's gonna be a lot easier, I suppose, for him to leave, even though he's been at the club since he's been 8 or 9. So that's my only concern with Jack is that he's not very, he believes in himself, which is a good thing. But that's my only concern is every time I believe it's rubbish because our owner's not going to sell, you know. They're not going to sell, that they don't need the money. And he's pretty much, you know, he's our poster boy, let alone England's. And to sell him will kind of knock us back a few steps in what we're building. So, yeah, that's my only little concern about Jack is that I don't want people in his ear because I'm not saying he will be influenced, but, you know, do you get what I mean? Like, you can just tell that he could be swayed, if you get what I mean. But I'm hoping I'm wrong. But that's my only little thing about him. But as you say, I think Harry Kane's going to be the one they're going to go after for the whole window for me. And to get somebody like Harry Kane, it ain't like an overnight job, is it? Do you know what I mean? To get somebody of that magnitude, it's going to take weeks to get that deal done because there's so much involved. Now, obviously, according to the papers, that Jack's gone. You know, he's at City now already, apparently. So in the media, and it's the Telegraph as well that's mentioned this, and it's Arsenal gem a target for ambitious Aston Villa, and it says Aston Villa hold an interest in Emile Smith Rowe. So that's a young lad at Arsenal. So apparently he could be his replacement. Big shoes to fill. But what do you think about Smith Rowe? I mean, obviously if Jack's here, which I think he will be. I think that'd be a really good signing.
I think it'd be really, really good. But he's like Arsenal's Jack, as in an Arsenal fan. He'd been there. Is he an Arsenal fan?
I think he's been there.
He's been there since what age? And he's quite young. He's coming through the ranks and stuff. There's no way he's going to let... I mean, he was, in my opinion, with the games that I watched, with Saka, he was one of their best players last season. So for Arsenal to let him go would be ridiculous and would need a lot of money considering how young he is and his English and stuff. But I would love him at Villa. But with signing Buendia and if we're keeping Jack, we probably won't go there, if you know what I mean. Because I believe is he an attacking midfielder?
Yes. He's Jack, basically.
So I don't think we'll see him. He's a really good link and I would have loved to have him considering... at the moment, we just love to wind up Arsenal fans at the moment. So that would have been quite funny.
It would, wouldn't it? To say they're going to get our poster boy, then we'd take theirs.
I think we should just get Saka now just to really rub it in. That would be quality. But he was a really, really good player. Really, really good link, as in worth... Like, you know, he's one for the future still. And yeah, it would be a really awesome player to have, but... The fact we've just spent how much on Buendia and Jack will stop, hopefully, so there's been no room for him. But I definitely would love to see him at Villa.
Yeah, I mean, as like you said, we are winding up Arsenal fans at the moment because the whole Buendia, then all of us, like we said that, a lot of fans wanted him. Now, all of a sudden, they didn't want him because he's not joined them. And then I saw Arsenal fan TV talking about it, saying that little old Villa blew them out of the water. And it's like, and then I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter and Facebook of fans from other clubs saying, like, I didn't realise Villa owners are the third richest in the league. Like, I'm literally just finding out. And I think that's kind of like where teams are kind of looking over the shoulders a little bit now. And like, I'm not saying this story is true in the slightest. There's no way. I know they're a bit mental at the minute and, you know, not spending money as and when they, you know, kind of backing the manager, I suppose, missing out on the likes of Buendia. Because, you know, let's be fair. I know they said that they offered the same sort of money, but like wages and stuff, but it was the way we did the deal with so much money up front. Theirs was more staggered. That kind of put us in the driving seat. But, you know, we know Arsenal can go and blow money like they did on, I can't think of his name now.
Pepe,
yeah. So to say that they can do that kind of says to me that there's still money available and there's no way they're going to let somebody like Emile Rowe Smith to go when they, you know, they don't really need the money. So I think that's a non-starter. I've got two stories left. We have kind of blasted through these. Last but one is from Team Talk and it says Villa ready, £30 million bid as Thomas Tuchel agrees to bin off two of Chelsea's triumphs. And it says, Aston Villa are ready to fund summer transfer swoops for Chelsea bear Tammy Abraham and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Now, obviously, we all know about Tammy. I'd take the hand off now, especially with the creativity that we've just bought. You know, he can finish. But Loftus-Cheek's a bit of a funny one because obviously there's a lot of talk about one of us getting Barkley, one of us getting Loftus-Cheek between us and Fulham. Obviously, we went down the Barkley route. But what do you think? I mean, would you take both? Would you take one and not the other? What do you think?
On paper, I'll take both because they're both fantastic players. We all know Tammy. He's got a place in every Villa fan's heart. And he's a good striker. He would have to settle for being not maybe the number one striker because Watkins is, you know, he's in England. Watkins is above Tammy for England. So that says everything that needs to know in it. So Tammy would be awesome and it'd be good to have a backup striker. And as we know from last season, we need to use our strength, our depth more that we haven't got. So Tammy would be really good. And with Jack here still, hopefully, and Brendina, Tammy will bang them in. But the whole Loftus-Cheek thing, as much as I want him, I don't know where he would fit in because after all these players we're buying and stuff, we've still got Samson as well. So it's a bit like, where would he fit in? As much as I want him, because he's an attacking midfielder, where would he fit in? Because last season we saw McGinn getting played further forward. We saw Louise getting played further forward and it worked. So if we get any more midfielders, in my opinion, it needs to be a defensive midfielder. As much as I want Loftus-Cheek, I just can't see him fit into our setup. I think our midfield attacking is quite strong at the moment. That's why we're sniffing around Ward-Prowse, because we want another defensive midfielder. But I would want him at Villa, but unless someone left, I don't know how he will fit in.
Yeah, I mean, the headlining seller says Villa ready £30 million bid as Tuchel agrees to bid off to the players, right? So is that saying that, are they saying that it's £30 million for the pair or £30 million each? Because if it's £30 million for the pair, I will get the car out now and we'll pick them up. No problem. £30 million each, then yeah, for me, I'm taking just Tammy. As you said, Loftus-Cheek is a talent, but for him to fit in, somebody's got to go. Now, maybe if, obviously, we know about Louise's clause ending over this, you know, past now, it's expired. Maybe Loftus-Cheek could have been his replacement, maybe. But I, like you said, I don't know where he's going to fit in. He was at Fulham and, you know, not many real people have been singing his praise. Like, you know, when you think about how good Lookman's been and that is Anguissa that was there, that people have been raving about. No one's really been going, oh, that Loftus-Cheek looks a bit of a player. Do you know what I mean? Like, it hasn't happened. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I don't know where he fits in. But, again, like I said, if it's £30 million for the pair, then I'm happy to take both. But otherwise, Tammy's the one that we need. Because, like I said, I do think we need another striker if Wesley doesn't come back firing all cylinders during the pre-season. And now the last story I've got, and you've touched on it, and it's on The Guardian, and it's Aston Villa set to make move for Southampton's James Ward-Prowse. Now, for me, I think it's probably going to cost more than Buendia to get him, in my opinion. Buendia was, what, 32, rising to 38. I think it's going to cost 40 to get him. Reason being is, Southampton do get a lot of money for their players. You know, you look down the line of who they've sold and how much they've got. Two is, he's their poster boy. He is their main man and he's pretty much irreplaceable to Southampton as much as Jack is to us. But what a hell of a player he is. And the amount of free kicks he would get from Jack being fouled, he will get the golden boot by February because it would be unreal. But yeah, like you say, we're looking for a defensive midfielder, in my opinion. He doesn't fit that nasty, gritty midfielder that I think we need. But to be kind of like an English Pirlo and just sit deep and spray it about and get the ball 30, 40 yards up the field from a deep position, oh, there's not many better in the league. So what do you think about it?
When I first saw the link on Twitter, I think it was, I was like, man, you know, we've just been linked because he's a player and blah, blah, blah. And then a lot of the journalists are saying there's actual legs in it. And obviously Southampton have said he's not for sale. And that's fine. They said that for every player they've sold. so I'm not looking into to that as much. But we need a defensive midfielder for depth still. And like you said, the amount of free kicks he's going to get, because he's going to have the most fouled player in the Premiership. And it wouldn't surprise me if Wendina becomes the second most fouled player in the Premiership. And we need, I mean, we've been speaking all season that we need a specialist. And he's one of the best free kick takers in the league. He takes corners. He's what we're shouting out for. His composure on the ball. Watching him play for England the other day, like, he was just ridiculous in front of the back four. For me, he'll be more, he's more of an important signing than what Buendia would be, because he could win or lose his games. Like, how, do you know what I mean? He can just run it from the back. Say him and Louise in the in front of the back four, him or McGinn in front of the back four. He just shouts out energy and he just brings something else. And he's only 26. He's English. And actually, he's not 26. He's 24, actually. And it sounds bad, but I'm sort of glad he's not going to the Euros, because if we are after him, this gives us more time to see what we can do, if you know what I mean, in the most unselfish way. Not saying that we're going to buy him, but I think like he could be one of the signings of the season if we buy him. And I agree with you. I think if we buy him, you're looking at 35 plus.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's unlucky not to get to Euros. I think he should have been in front of Henderson. To say Henderson's...
Trust me, I don't know why Henderson's going.
Well, no. I mean, like, just quickly touching on England, it's annoyed the life out of me that we've got 38 right-backs. We've got Rashford, who's, like, going for surgery this week. Maguire's out and he just started running on grass again. We've got, like, obviously Trent got injured and you're like, okay, then maybe you'll bring in an extra midfielder, an extra striker. No, he brings in Ben White, who's had, I think he's been quite poor, in my opinion. Even though we don't really need that, we don't need a centre-half. And then you've got, you've got two and out and out strikers in Calvin Lewin and Kane, and that's it. And then in the midfield, we've got five midfielders and you've got four right-backs. Well, obviously until Trent went. So just for me, it's just completely cocked up the whole, and like literally at least a third of those players are just the wrong ones. And yeah, I think it's going to be a long, like I said, personally, final or he gets a sack, and I'm struggling to see past, you know, one decent team comes in and we're going to struggle. Okay, obviously I'm judging it on friendlies and there's half the team out because they haven't been picked and played. But yeah, it's a bit... how to put it. I'm not happy with the performances at the minute. So,
well, even that all concerns me. All these Champions League players haven't played. I'm thinking our first game's in 5 days. Like, I just think, like, what is going on? Like, they should have played a part in the Romania game, and suddenly they're just coming to training now. Our first game's in 5 days. It's just like, yeah, I find it very bizarre. And this whole build-up to the Euro, I just find it a bit weird. Like, I haven't got the same feeling that I had in the World Cup. It just doesn't seem as organised. Or it seems to me that Southgate has no idea what his starting lineup is.
No, me neither. And I think he's going to chop and change it and we're not going to get settled. I think the only ones that pretty much guaranteed is Kane. We talk about media madness. I did see him get quoted today this is Southgate actually quoting that he cannot see Jack, Foden and Mount playing together in the same side. And I was like, are you absolutely joking me? Are you saying that three of the most creative and informed players in the league, let alone for England, are not going to play together? That just kind of tells you all you need to know about Gareth Southgate right there. And then literally the question I asked is, if one of them played right back, what's the chances? So like I said, that's a little bonus media madness that I've spotted. Onward Prowse though, as you said, that is not gone. So hopefully, you know, like you said, it might make life a bit easier, but maybe if he went to the Euros, or because he's been around Jack and Watkins and Mings, maybe they could have, you know, tapped him up a little bit like Martinez did.
Yeah, we need to get that pool table out again. Christ.
Yeah, it's definitely. But yeah, that's the Media Madness stories I've got this week. So anything you want to add?
No. I think we covered all the most strangest stories that we had. I mean, there's some right strange ones out there on Twitter, but I think the ones you've picked are probably the better ones to talk about because some are just absolute rubbish. So, until the next one, up the Villa, guys.
Thanks, guys. See you again.